We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 2, but as always, just bear with me a little bit as we start off and turn to Matthew 5. Ladies, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is what you're going into, and it just happens that this is something stated by the Lord right after that. And I think it's pertinent for today. You know, if there ever was a time for every one of us in our own devotion, in our own manner, to be in the Word of God, it's now. Amen. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word. See, and that's what, we kind of hit and miss. We, you know, play a little Bible roulette and get a place we like. Oh, we read, and like, especially Leviticus. That's like taking a drink of sand, you know. But we just kind of skip by it. Why did God put it in there? Why did the Holy Spirit say this is important? Why should we look at that? Because otherwise we operate on our own understanding, which is very limited. Now is the time for every one of us, everyone, to be in the Word of God consistently so that we might hear what He's telling us. Like I've said for weeks now, there are so many different opinions, and I use that word lightly. I'd like to say lies, but I won't say lies. There's so many lies out there, you just don't know what to believe, but we can believe the word of the Lord. What's happening to the Christian realm, what's happening to churches, it's not just us that we're seeing a decline. It's every church that I've talked to are seeing a decline in the individuals that were staunch at one time. And why is that? Well, it's the COVID. No, it's not. No, it's not. We go to the hardware store, we go to the supermarket, we go to the movie, we go to the restaurant, we go to people. Stop using the excuse. And I apologize to those who have other thoughts and opinions, but now is the time for us to be together as brethren, as sisters and brothers in the Lord, and glean what God hasn't shown me yet. Glean that so that we can have a firm foundation to stand on. Turn to Matthew 5. Last year, I started off the year with asking us all, let's read Psalm 119. You know, it's broken up nicely like the Jewish alphabet. You can get little sections. If you can't sit for more than 5 minutes and read a section, you can just take the 8 little verses here and 9 verses in that one and 8 again. You can break it up. And if you do, you can read Psalm 119. You can read that all month long. And then when you're done, read it again and read it again. But it tells us of the necessity of God's word. It's not just me. Or, you know, trying to get something going to, you know, get you to do something maybe that you're not. God is saying, Doug, I need you in my word. Why, Lord? I've been doing this for 40 some odd years. Don't ever, any of us, ever think that we can understand our Lord and Savior in this finite mind of ours. We were talking last, He is almighty. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's not just God. He's not just one of the gods. You read Isaiah. Look in Isaiah 45. I am God and there's no other God like me. If he's saying that, maybe I need to perk my ear up. If I don't believe in him, I need to ask myself, why? Why don't I believe in this God who loves us, who's abounding in mercies, who's gentle, he's kind, he's patient, and he has a plan for mankind that we're starting to just get a glimpse of. The only way we can find out what's really going on is get into God's word daily. This is like reading yesterday's news. Everything that's in here is starting to come to pass. We've got people, but that could be another 100 years. All that states, when we say, well, the Lord's return, that could be, all that says is we don't want him coming back. I don't even think I believe that. I don't want him to because I've got all of this that I need to do. If I read more and understood how much he loves me and what he's got planned for me, I've got more ahead of me than I've had behind me in my 72 years. I've said that before, but that's a reality. And we're talking about ruling and reigning, and that's why this word is so important that we understand that he's got something for each and every one of us. Just because it looks like it does right now, that is not what we're going to be looking forward to. There's much more in that horizon that God will open up to us. But in Matthew 5, verse 18, so we can get going, it says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass." Now, has it passed yet? That's a very simple. The answer to that is obviously no. We're here right now, or we think we are. Do you ever think sometimes, is this just maybe not it? What if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? I say unto you, heaven and earth will not pass. One yacht, a little iota is what that, just the smallest little thing or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled.
Amen.
Nothing, not a one. And if there's something in here that I don't like, too bad, Doug.
Amen.
Oh, I like John 3:16. That's a good one. But oh, I don't like, obey all my commandments. I'm a little over here, maybe just a few, I could bend a little bit. So the word right now, and that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get across to the individuals at that time, showing that divinity of Jesus Christ, showing his sovereignty, showing his superiority over everything. And I've got to get that into my system, or else what I think is this is it. What I'm dealing with right now, this is it for me. I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to move, or this is it, I've got to get out. There's so much more. And the so much more is not doom and gloom, as a lot of Christians today talk about. There is something coming, as we have said, and you were in Matthew 5. Put something in there and read the rest of the Beatitudes. They're beautiful. They're blessings from our Lord. Why do we get beyond the simplicity of what God is trying to show us and make it so hard? And I fear that there are Christians out there, pastors out there, maybe even myself at times. It's so simple, you have to have somebody help you to misunderstand it. And there's plenty of those people out there today. Plenty that will tell you, no, that came. No, tribulation. We're in the tribulation now, I heard a few weeks ago. Oh, brother, we're not even close. We're not even close. And if we can't make it when we can't find the remote or go find the right, what were we looking for at the supermarket? And I mean, I was bummed. It was something to eat, and it was something unhealthy, I know. But we were there, and I could not find it the other day. And that bums me out, my goodness. There's a time coming that we're going to be marked out from buying, selling, doing anything, trading, anything. This is nothing that's coming. And God's trying to say, Doug, yes, all this is happening, but look up, buddy. Look up, because the best is yet to come. So Hebrews 2, if we can get to that. We left off last week in verse 5. What one of the angels... Again, and I don't want to take too much time rehashing, but the Jewish traditions, and they held high esteem with angels. I mean, and we believe in them. They're ministering spirits. There are angels. There's fallen angels, demonic angels, and there's heavenly angels. It is an order that exists. But sometimes we focus on what isn't the ultimate, the top of something. We'd look right in there in the middle. Jews looked at these angels. They gave the law to Moses. I mean, there was a lot of things that went on. But the Holy Spirit, through the author of Hebrews, is saying, what one of those angels did he put in subjection the world to come? He didn't do that. So that should pierce our hearts a little bit and say, well, what are you doing then, Lord? Who is going to do this? Well, we think the Lord is going to do it. Yes, he is. But he's also going to take us during that time, the millennial reign, the 1,000 years, the new heaven and the new earth, we will be ruling and reigning with Christ. That's an unbelievable thought, isn't it? It's scary at times. Craig Jones and I have been talking for probably, what did you say the other day, Pat? 30, 40 years on ruling and reigning. Every time you guys get together, ruling and reigning comes up. That's because that's where we're headed. And we better have a good understanding of it. See, and Craig reminded, he said, You always say, have I told you lately I'm going to heaven? Isn't that great? You know, yeah, that's me too. But there's so much more to it than just going to heaven. Existing with the Lord during this eternity. So that's what I hope I can bring out. And the only way I can bring it out is by reading his word. We pastors have done a disservice, I feel, to our congregations and to ourselves. Why? Because we take this little verse 5, or today I was going to go through right to 9. Pat laughed at me and said, you're not going to get to 9. We think we have to put some new spin on this word. We have to get it out there in a way that nobody has ever heard that before. And that's what pastors do. We want to have that thing that just gets people to jump up, right? Why, I heard so-and-so say this, I can't believe it. I think we need to be in a time right now where we hear Jesus say something. These letters, these epistles were written to congregations. Why aren't they read in their entirety instead of just little blurbs here and there, scripturettes that we expound on? God's word is not going to pass, and we need to read it in our entirety. Well, Doug, that would take, you'd be preaching till 12:30. Well, that's what I usually do without reading God's word. So I'm thinking we need God's word. We need to take it in its entirety and examine these things, because sometimes in church, that is the only time that the full word of God, the whole counsel of God, gets into our ears. We're so rushed, aren't we? We're in a hurry. I gotta do this. I've got to do that. I work two jobs. I care, you know, I caretake a ranch. I caretake the church. I have a family. I got great grandchildren. I haven't got a second for this. That I think needs to be put away, crumbled up, thrown somewhere. And whatever time we have, we need to get into this, because this is what matters. We've looked at the new heaven, the new earth, the millennial reign, where reborn man will rule and reign. Not universal salvation. It's not being seen in this. We made some points last week about, please read Revelation 21 and 22. It talks about this. Well, after I went home and I started reading it more myself, I realized that, you know, Revelation 21 and 22, unless it's read in its entirety, gets confusing at times. It almost seems as if the millennial reign and our eternal state kind of come in and out. And, well, what one is this? They're both similar, the millennial kingdom and our eternal state, and they seem to merge. But in Revelation, we're talking about our eternal state, where we're going to be forever. But in Isaiah 65, which I asked us to read last week, that's the 1,000-year reign of our Lord. That's what's in view. And I also said read Revelation 19, because Revelation 19, verse 1, through the whole chapter of 20, talks to us about the coming of Christ and the millennial kingdom. We need this today. It seems to be something that's drifted away from us. Other things are taking precedent. The obeying of certain mandates and whatnot, which I said I wasn't going to get on them again. And today, if you feel comfortable to mask, wear a mask. If you don't feel comfortable and you can't breathe, Peter and I have asthma, you know, so be it. But let's listen to the Lord like we listen and debate everything else that's out there. Starting maybe today with some of us. Let's hear what he says. So that was verse 5, and I better get moving. Paul goes and says in verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Well, Paul was referring these Jews back to Psalm 8, which they knew. So let's go read Psalm 8. Let's just look at that. These are not just random. I mean, if we follow the silver or the golden thread that goes through all the scripture, it's unbelievable. Man couldn't have dreamt these things up. computers, if they had it at this time, would probably be baffled the way that the Lord combines Old Testament, New Testament, what's going on today. So Paul was referring to Psalm 8. Psalm 8 was a marching song. See, these weren't just scriptures because they didn't have Bibles, remember? And that's why the reading of God's word is so important. They didn't have a Bible that they could either leave home, look it up on a Google pad, you know, a phone. A letter was written. And when you write a letter, what is its intent? To somebody to read it. And they would stand up in the congregation and they would read these letters. Now there's argument about that, that sometimes those were just Paul's notes or things that he... No, they wrote letters. They wrote epistles to the churches that should be read to the church. And it's not happening. And therefore we go our way sometimes with our own thoughts. So a marching song. And if there was ever a time for marching, now is the time. I told you, most of you that know me, when I was a kid, I was just a left footer. You know, I grew up a Presbyterian. I went there to a good nap at times, you know. But my favorite song when they would worship, Onward Christian Soldiers, at 8 years old, I wanted to march up and down the aisle at Parkway Community Church. I'd stand around and, you know, it just got me. And that's how we should be right now. And this is a marching song. This is a song that it should be ours. Oh, Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He is almighty. Brethren, I mean, I've said it for so many years that our God measures the span of the universe in his hand. And that's easy because I could look at Jack and say, look, I got you right now. No. That's how big our God is, how almighty he is. Lord, oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. That's what he's going to do, still. He hadn't completed it. Remember, not one yacht, not one tittle, not a little one iota isn't going to pass from what our Lord has promised us, has spoken to us. It's on its way. When I consider the heavens, and have we considered those, and to the unbelievers that might be listening, hearing, watching this today, or maybe speaking to one of the people that you know are here at Calvary today, consider the heavens and start trying to figure that out first. How did Job know about Pleiades? You ever think of that? There wasn't no telescope like Howard did the Hubble telescope, one of our brothers that went on to eternity. He received the reward. Consider the heavens. That's something God did. Like that. The work of your fingers. How can we not listen to him? How can we not want to know more about him? The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Verse 4, what is man? So here, who am I? Why should God, with all that power, with all that behind him being, why should he even consider, why should he even have one thought about Doug Gibney? About you, Rick? But you know, he says, my thoughts towards you are like the sand in the sea. So hold a bunch of sand the next time you have a chance and start counting them. Don't lose one. And that's only a handful. My thoughts towards you are more than the stars in the sky, the sands in the sea. Who is this man that loves us so much? Who is this God? What is man that thou art mindful? And this is what he was stating to us in verse 6 in Hebrews 2. Or the Son of Man, which... Again, we're talking about man here. And yes, you know, Son of Man was referred to, I think, like 80 times in Ezekiel. See, it's almost one of those mergings. Are we talking about man? Are we talking about God? This is God's plan, the beginning, the thoughts of it for us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The Son of Man that thou visited him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have, now verse 6 again, very important. You made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This is paradise. This is how it all started. This was God's original plan, not plan A, like I said last week. This was his plan for man. Why? What does God want for me? He wants to spend eternity with me. He wants to put everything under my feet one day. Not now, as we're going to see again, because that's not happening. All the sheep, all the oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, in verse 8, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This is a God that, if, like Paul was saying in the beginning of this, how will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How? There is no, this is the Creator. He's got a plan, and his plan is going to be fulfilled one day. And I feel it's going to be very soon. So let's go back to Hebrews, if we would. Psalm 8, read it over again, see what the Lord reveals to you. So we're hearing, well, who's man? Who am I that you would think about me even? Who are you that you would send your son Jesus to visit me? And that word visit in its original means to care for, to help, to carry along. It's more than just a visit. Don't you pay a visit? You know, you pop your head in, say, hey, how you doing? Oh, got to go. Look at the time. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's his plan once we ask him in. Thou made him, in verse 7, a little lower than the angels. So he's referring all these Jews and us back to the original statements that the Lord made. You made him a little lower, or a little while in the original Greek, inferior is what it is. To these angels. We die, right? Man dies. Angels don't die. Angels aren't going to rule the world at one time and reign the world. We are. We're going to judge angels. These are things that escape us, I think, simply because we don't consume this word like our daily bread. You crown him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection, verse 8, under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Dogs aren't afraid of us. They growl and snarl, right? That doesn't seem like we're in subjection. The fish of the sea, I'm a fisherman. You could pray all day long and not catch a fish, you know? I mean, I'm just trying to bring it to reality. We don't see that. If God really cared about us, well, where is he? If God really cared, why did Dee and Teddy die? Why did, you know, Howard die? Why, we can go down. Where's this caring? Well, his plan isn't being fulfilled yet, but it is on its way. Amen. It is Amen. On its way. Who was it? Carmen or one of those guys said it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You know, it's on its way. So when we look at that, verses 7 and 8, we're looking at this paradise that God set his plan in order originally for man, not just for a certain person or an individual, but all those who are in Christ that would believe we would rule and reign with him. Paradise granted. Paradise, you know, at its very existence is what we're seeing. So how do we see that? How do we understand it? Turn to Genesis 1. Again, in interest of time, I've got to pull out those little sniglets, but I've been feeling this week we have to read God's word in its entirety. Why can't I just get up on a Sunday and read the book of 1 Peter? Wouldn't that be good enough? Would we be satisfied if we just heard? Or does Doug have to put a little spin in there? We need to hear the entirety of God's word, not just little pieces here and there. So this paradise, this ruling and reigning, like I said, it was part of God's original plan for us. And I won't read all of Genesis. You know the days and how God saw everything. He said it was good. Well, this dominion given or paradise given, let's just look at 26. And God said, and this is us. See, this pertains to us. And if you're in Christ, Don't ever let the devil speak in your ear that you're not worthy. You can't even come close to that. Do you realize what you said last week? Do you realize what you thought? And that's how he works with us, doesn't he? So who am I going to listen to after today? I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to listen to the talking heads that are on the TV or the devil. Which one is it? I think we're in that time that I've got to start listening more. Not just hearing, and I've said this for 40 years, we all have, those of us who have children, they can hear us, right? Because we yell loud enough, but they don't listen. Or they can listen and be very attentive, but not hear us. Very common. That's just in the physical. And I'm just like that with God. Just like that. But what he did in the very beginning, he says, God said, let us, and that's the plural of majesty, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have, and here's that ruling and reigning. So, you know, it's almost more, I'm hoping, more of a Bible study that we realize there's more to this than just going to heaven. We're going to rule and reign. There's going to be some things going on that now is the time for preparation. Not that day we get there. It's now that we prepare so that he might say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on into the joy of your Lord. After our likeness, let them have dominion, and put that under there, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. That's a lot of stuff to be in charge of. We don't have it now, as we heard in there, because this is a fallen world because of sin. But the day is coming that this is what we're entering into. Not just our loved ones in heaven, which is the greatest for me and for Pat, and I know for some. I'm living for that day. I'm living for that day. That I can, and I hope God lets us hug in heaven. You know, that we don't have to worry about that, because I want to hug my girl for about 10,000 years, and then I'll start wondering what's going on. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, please hear this one. When I said there's so many lies out there today, and we need God's word, and we have to say, I either believe this 100% or I don't believe it at all. See, because a half of a truth is a whole lie. And in God's order, God created man, mankind, anthropos, in the, you know, that's our Greek words, and men, women, he created us in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We're in a time where this is under attack. Why am I harping on God's word? Because we either believe this 100% or we don't believe it at all. Because now we're being told there are 76 different gender identities. Why didn't God say that to me? Because he didn't do it. And God doesn't take credit for something he didn't do. Satan does that, but not our God. This verse 27, as we read all of God's word, is crucial for today's understanding. We don't have to get in big debates or anything, but don't say, well, that's, you know, I guess that's okay. If that's what they want to believe, then we don't love as we're supposed to love. God has put us here before we rule and reign in heaven and all that stuff. He's put us here to get out the gospel. There's part of it right there. So critical for today, for the lies that are being told, for the lies that are being told to our children in school. And I just praise God that none of my kids are at that point. I've got two great grandbabies who aren't homeschooled, that Pat and I fear for them, what they're being taught. Amen. Tell them that that's all there is. No, there's more to this. I'm this, I'm that. I identify as this. Please, male and female. No matter how you feel or think about yourself, God loves you, and he wants you to know that. He created us to be with him for eternity. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. That's a whole sermon in itself. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, verse 29, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything in 31 that he made, and behold, and he says here, it was very good. Before he goes, and he created it, and it was good. It was good. God created man, gave dominion to us, and there, like I said, there is this millennial reign that we have to consider in this, the heaven, the ruling and reigning, the new heaven and new earth. But God saw us and said, it is good. Wow. I mean, that this week it was like, how many, you know, we condemn ourselves more than other people do. We think on a daily basis lower of ourselves than God does. And this year, I'm going to try to stop putting myself above God in the way I think about who I am and how I think and how I speak, and realize I'm a progress of God's work. What do you call it? You called me a piece of work the other day. You are a piece of work, because I was doing something. But God saw me, and he said, he's very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We're heading for the seventh day. We're heading for the seventh day very soon, if you're a dispensationalist, if you understand these sections of time that we'll get into at one point. So what happened? Well, you have to read, and I'm already, you know, here's where I wanted to read all these chapters. Man blew it. We blew it. That's why we don't see everything under our subjection. Read chapter 2, all of chapter 2. And he told them what was going on, and he did all these things. And then we look into 3, and there's paradise lost. That's why is all this happening right here? Because Adam and Eve didn't listen to God the first time, and all this stuff just took off. Devil, still doing what he did in chapter 3. Satan casts a shadow of doubt on God's word. He doesn't care if you and I are drinkers, if we're druggers, if we're, you know, robbers. Satan just wants us doubting God's word. If he can get us involved in any of the habitual habits that mankind has, fine with him. You could be the best person in the world, given everything you've gotten, but not believe in God. He still has accomplished his purpose. Make mankind think that this is just for some people who left their mind at the door when they went to church. He started in the Garden of Eden. It says he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say that? Did God really say there's just male and female? Yes. Oh, well, maybe not. Did God say, and then we need to start looking at everything in our lives. Well, if God cared so much, why did he take my loved one? He took that loved one, I don't know why, but we're going to be reunited again. How about that? But the devil says, oh, you sure? Do you think that's really happening? Do you really believe in heaven? Do you believe in heaven? Do you really think there's going to be gold streets and gates that have pearls on them? And yeah. Yeah, because if I don't, I got nothing else to believe in but Satan. That's it. Here's what he says. And continue to read that. Oh, you're not going to die. Don't worry about that. Well, the Lord said, if you believe in me, even though you live, you won't die. Do you believe that? So we have to take this word as where I was when I started out, and I probably won't finish, but please read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. We see paradise given to mankind. We see all of the setup of it, in a sense, in 2. 3, we see mankind, sin, entering the world, failing to listen to God's word. And ultimately, where we are today is a result of that. You know, and I'll say this for the essence of time. In verse 9, when they were hiding in the garden, and that's what man is trying to do now, we try to hide the truth, even about ourselves. I don't think our powers that be out there tell the full truth. We're hiding. People are hiding. They're hiding. God said in verse 9, it says, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And I've preached this before, and that's what he's asking today, I feel, from us. That in our slang, let's say, if we were to use it, he wasn't saying, oh, Adam, where are you? You know, like we do with our kids, and our kids used to go, remember, just to let you know, no, I'm in the bathroom. I'm in the living room. He wasn't asking like that. He's saying, Adam, where are you at? Where is your head? Where's your heart? What are you doing hiding? And I think the Lord is asking those same questions to us today. Because of everything that's going on, because of the world that we see disintegrating in front of our eyes. I'm 72. This is not the world that I grew up in this last couple of years. I don't know about anybody else feel, oh, it's all the same. It's all going on just fine. I'm good. God is trying to get us. He's saying, Doug, where are you? Either in that world or you're in me. You're either going to listen to my word or you're going to listen to the lies that are going to be propagated for who knows how much more time that's coming. Give me one more. In Hebrews 2:9, so we have all of this stuff, and it's almost disheartening, isn't it? Man, look, you know, gas is $5 a gallon. You can't buy food. You can't go out. You can't go see your great-grandkids or your grandbabies, and you can't fly anymore, and it's not worth it anyhow. Now they give you a little bag of peanuts. What's that about? Remember when you'd get a whole tray on your lap, and it was terrible, but you looked forward to it? I don't want to fly, but if we look at all of this, it's bad, and that's what the Jews were saying back here to bring it home. But in verse 9, and this is the, you know, I love the scripture that it came to pass. That's my favorite, okay? And that's, I'm not being funny. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass, the Lord said. I'll never leave you and forsake you, my other one. The Jews were trying to go back. They were probably frustrated. Gee, what's going on? We don't see this. We don't see that. He explained that to them. But in verse 9, he goes, but. And I love the but God. But is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for him? If we believe that, then he's going to get us through this one way or the other. He's going to bring us back into a remnant, if it has to be, to preach his word out there to every creature, to show them that this is what's happening. But we see Jesus. So that one made me stop, and I thought, do I see Jesus? Remember the one question, where are you as we leave here today? You don't have to share that with anybody. You and I, when we're in a little quiet spot, as Pat calls it to me when I just sit there, Doug, you're gooning out, you know. I just sit there a lot, and I think, where am I with God today? Where'd that come from? Where did that thought, how did that enter into my head? And I need to get it out of here before it enters my heart. Where am I with God today? Where am I with God's word today? Because that's how Paul started this off. Give the more earnest heed to those things that we've heard, lest we let them slip or drift away or neglect them if we neglect such a salvation. So you don't have to be a great sinner to be lost for eternity. All you got to do is neglect this word. Don't esteem it more than our daily bread. This should take precedence over all. But we see Jesus, Paul said. So he's trying to bring back to these guys' minds as he says that. Do you see him? Do you see Jesus? And how do you see him? See, that's the real important thing. So I asked you for one more, but I got to do two more. There's two ways of seeing the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 6. I'll rush through this one. Yeah. There should be no rush in God's word. I'll say that at the expense of maybe being pointed at. I think one of the worst books I have ever seen in a Christian Bible store is the, what was it? It was the 1 Minute Bible.
Bible study. No.
Yeah.
Devotional.
The one, I mean, I sat there and looked at that. Is that all we have for God? 1 minute? And I think I could walk away and know him? Is that it? Oh my goodness, what's happened to Western Christianity? What is happening to us? I hope we understand and turn its course before it happens completely. So where are you? How do you see Jesus today? Because this is where it all starts. And in Isaiah 6, listen to this. This is how Isaiah saw the Lord. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His train, his robes, his glory. I mean, can you imagine? That would probably snap most of us if we really saw that. He closed his eyes for a minute and gooned out maybe. Well, the Lord gave him a vision, but he was seeing the Lord high, lifted up. Where I started, Almighty God, omniscient, omnipotent. This is the God that loves us. Above it stood the seraphim, each one with six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Remember, what is man? When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, let's start looking up. Did that just happen in the great big bang? Well, the question again is, what blew up then? What, you know, what blew up if there was this big bang? You look at the heavens and try to tell me that just happened. That there isn't a God that is above all these things. The posts of the door in verse 4 moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. And that word undone, I'm cut off. We're not cut off. He loves us. He's got a plan for us. Woe is me. I'm undone because I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Boy, don't we ever. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. Wow. He goes on and read the rest of that. One of the important parts again is, where am I? Do I realize he's got something for me? In verse 8, the response was, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And then he answered and said, here am I, send me. That's got to be us in our families. It's got to be us in our workplaces. It's got to be us speaking to people that we know. There's opportunity always. What's happening to the world? Bingo. Give them the gospel. And I feel that's what Paul was trying to get the Jews to adhere to. It's not angels. It's not the world. It's the Lord. It's his plan. Here it is. How do you see him? Do we see him like this? Have you seen the Lord this way? And I asked myself, you know, when I first got saved, I started praying. And this one day I freaked out because I felt like I was in two hands, and if Taffy was here, she'd confirm it because it was at her house. I just felt like, and so did Taffy, and so did Wayne Shaver. We felt like we were in these hands just being lifted up out of the room. And I mean, I was only saved for who knows how long, a couple of months. I had to open my eyes to realize, you know, make sure that wasn't happening. Whoa, what's going on? Some reason, somehow, God wanted me to see his omniscience, his omnipotence, his being almighty over Doug Gibney. And he did that. Why? How come I don't see him like that anymore? Because some things of this earth that are going to pass are getting in the way. Or if you want to see him just like everybody else, turn to Matthew 16, and we'll end with this one. think it's in 13. He was talking before this in verse 13, we're going to look at it in 16. He was talking to a multitude, but he was talking to Pharisees at the time, Sadducees. And he was telling them to beware the leaven. Beware the leaven of bread. I think that warning should be cried out today, because there are so many lies. Where are you with Jesus Christ today? Are you in Christ? Because if you're not, you're out of Christ at this point. I haven't made a decision. Well then, right now, if you were to die, you would be eternally separated from a loving God. For in Christ, everything we've heard so far is a yea and amen, and it's promised to us. But he was saying, beware the leaven of the bread, the leaven of bread of the Pharisees, Sadducees, those who are spreading a false gospel. Verse 13, and this is where we are if we're not in this word fully. Our thoughts about who Jesus is. We had last week, remember, one guy thought he was a hard taskmaster. He didn't know him. We got other people who think, well, listen to this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, just a regular guy. And we've got that going on in Christianity today. There are shirts that says, my bud, a reference to Bud Lights and Bud Beer. My bud, the big man upstairs. Who do people say that I am? Remember where I was going, to help me if I forget. Where are you? We in this word. How do I see Jesus? But we see Jesus. And some people see Jesus as just John the Baptist. Some Elias. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Who do you say? That's a question for today, I think. Not for next week. Not for when I get married, build my house, whatever it might be. Who do I say that Jesus is? He's either my Lord and Savior, or as Josh McDowell, he's a lunatic or a liar, or he is the Lord. But that has to be answered. It's not something to put off to the deathbed. Who do men say that I am? But, there's that but again, whom say ye that I am? Peter, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this. It's not intellect. It's not how smart or how unsmart we are, intelligent. God will talk to us. God will speak to us. And I'm begging you today, with all the speaking that's going on, all the thoughts that are going on in our head, the way that Satan, as we read, took away paradise, he's doing this to every one of us in a certain way today. And the only way we'll thwart this is to see him high and lifted up. See him a God above all other gods, a God that there is no other. There is none like me, none, and we need to believe it. It's that simple. I hope, Lord, you spoke to our hearts. That through your word, Father, every bit of it speaks of you. Every bit of it speaks of life. Help us, Lord. Help those who are still on the fence, Lord, that haven't made a decision for Christ yet. Father God, let them get to your word. Speak to them by your Holy Spirit. Father, take our hearts that do get stony at times, Lord. Soften them. Pour that wine on, Lord. Pour out your oil on us today. Help us to know that no matter what we see, that there's more to your plan for each and every one of us than what we're experiencing. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord.